WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Jake Reichert and Zach Elrod. No Lincoln today. He's out fulfilling some other duties for the lacrosse squad, so shout out to him. On today's episode, we're going to be counting down each of our top 10 NFL fantasy players of all time. These are very subjective. All of us have different lists, different players. I kind of took mine a little too seriously after hearing what these guys were kind of saying. So do you guys have any honorable mentions? I just wanted to ask that first.
Honorable mentions. I didn't even
think
about them.
I just wondered, because I have, like, a couple.
You go first, and I'll think
Me?
About an honorable mention.
Okay, sure. My honorable mentions, I'll kick it off with 2021 Deebo Samuel.
here we go.
Here we go.
Right off the bat.
You can't lie, though. Samuel season was revolutionary. Okay. They call him the wide back for a reason. Pause. But Deebo that season was unreal. Waiver wire pickup of the generation.
That's crazy.
He set the record for most rushing yards by a wide receiver in NFL history, tagging that along with over 1,300 plus yards receiving, over 2,000 yards from scrimmage, along with 15 plus touchdowns, made him the wide receiver two that season. Because there's another guy that I have in my top 10 that was just ahead of him because he had the single greatest wide receiver season ever in fantasy football. So, Deebo Samuel is my honorable mention, my GOAT. I was very sad I didn't get him on waivers because he beat me up really bad when I faced him. So, and do you guys have any honorable mentions?
I do now that I think about it. I was trying to think of a player that personally helped my fantasy squad in the last couple of years. And I don't have this guy on my list. I don't think anybody will. Maybe will, but it's this year's Tyreek Hill.
That's very reasonable.
I mean, I had the fourth pick in my biggest league. I'm sitting there, and at first I was like, you know, I'm going to go running back. I feel like it's going to be a big Jonathan Taylor season. And then the talk came out how he wasn't going to sign a contract. He wasn't going to play right away. And I was like, well, I'm sitting here. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Do I take Tyreek Hill? Do I take Cooper Kupp, who came off a phenomenal season? I'm sure a couple of us are going to be talking about him here soon.
And the
day of the draft, I was going to take Cooper Kupp, and then something happened when my pick came up. I was like, you know what, I'm going to take Tyreek Hill, and man, am I glad I did. He had a phenomenal season. He missed a game this year, and he put up phenomenal numbers. He played really well throughout the season. The end of the year was kind of rough. The postseason, he didn't put up great numbers, but I mean, I had a numerous amount of 20-point, 30-point weeks this year, so... This year's Tyreek Hill's got
to
be up there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like he was kind of trying to chase that 2,000-yard thing a little too much, and it kind of hurt his season because, you know, DBs were trying to double him. He ends up getting himself hurt, kind of ran himself into the ground towards the end of the season, and that harmed the Dolphins in their playoff run. But, I mean, this year's Tyreek Hill, who would have guessed that he would have had the season he did? And what's crazy is, was he the wide receiver one? I don't think he was.
No, CeeDee Lamb was.
CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. Shout out CeeDee Lamb. He was unbelievable this year as well. I don't have him on my list personally. But Tyreek Hill, unreal, especially with Tua Tagovailoa as his quarterback. He didn't do this with Patrick Mahomes. He did this with Tua. Roll Tide. Zach, anybody?
I guess now that I think about it, I started searching up some names, and I came across nobody really talks about this guy anymore, especially discrediting him, especially how his career did end. Antonio Brown, 2015. Yes. I mean, you got to give the man his flowers. He's done some controversial things, but, I mean, back in 2015 with 10 touchdowns, almost 2,000 yards receiving. I mean, yeah, on 136 receptions. Yeah, he did some special things, especially back in Pittsburgh. So, yeah.
Special teams, special players.
special teams, special players.
Yeah, I mean, there was a real argument that you can make that he's the best wide receiver of the 2010s. I really think it's only between him and Julio Jones. Maybe you throw D-Hop in there. Megatron, I guess. But Antonio Brown, during that stint in Pittsburgh, where he was just dominating. If you had him in fantasy, you were winning titles. There was no way. I do have some other honorable mentions. 2021 was my first season really playing NFL fantasy football, and there was one man that I picked up off waivers that completely changed the way I view my life to this day.
Wow. I'm getting emotional.
This is pretty deep.
This person changed the way I view not only football, but my life in in like overall. He won me.
What year was this?
This was 2021. This was like 2 years
ago.
I was a late bloomer.
Okay.
And that I also won the championship because of this guy. And this was 2021 waiver wire god, the sun god, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Wow.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, for the last, I think it was 7 weeks of that season, fairly certain averaged 27 points a game out of nowhere. He was either a rookie or a second-year guy, and he was going nuclear week after week. It would go like 25 points, 35 points, 27, 30, 22, 35. It was unreal what this guy was doing. And Detroit was like, they were not good that season. They were trying to make a push, and they started winning games because Jared Goff was just feeding Amon-Ra game after game. He was getting like 12 receptions a game, and he won me my first championship. So shout out Amon-Ra St. Brown. He not an all-time great in fantasy standards whatsoever, but man, did he change my life.
I do have one more. I'll do one more really quick one, and then I'll start. We'll start or whatever.
Yeah.
Unless anybody else has any honorable mentions.
I mean, it did remind me of one other one, but
yeah. I mean, we can keep these honorable mentions going. We got time.
I want to end it with this.
Speaking on the Detroit Lions, I mean, Matthew Stafford, he was, especially the previous season before 2011, I mean, only dropping 53 fantasy points in total. And in 2011, with 347 fantasy points, 5,000 yards, 41 touchdowns, I mean, 16 interceptions. But, I mean, you know, Matthew Stafford back with Detroit, he was the, I mean, he was the life and blood of that team. So, definitely a good bounce back year for him. And, yeah, I think the Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, you know, the mention definitely sparked that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so.
Well, I know you wanted to end it on one guy, but I had one more guy I want to shout out. I didn't, you know, ever use this guy, but in 2017, there was a rookie running back out of Tennessee that completely took the NFL by storm, won Offensive Rookie of the Year, and was a waiver wire pickup because I'm pretty sure he wasn't drafted until the fourth round, I want to say, and that was 2017 Alvin Kamara. His rookie year, he did everything in New Orleans, even splitting the carries with Mark Ingram. He was unreal. He was catching the passes out of the backfield because at that point, Drew Brees was aging, and he was checking the ball down a lot. It was all to Alvin Kamara, so if you had him in PPR, it was just unlimited points. He was incredible. He was getting kick returns. That's how good he was. He was returning the ball, running the ball. He had I'm pretty sure he had 1,500 yards from scrimmage his rookie season. And he was a waiver wire pickup everywhere. There's no way anybody in their right mind drafted Alvin Kamara. And since then, he's been phenomenal in fantasy. I think by the end of his career, there's a real argument to be made that he could be in the greatest fantasy players of all time list. As long as he stays healthy, for sure.
There's one guy that you made me think of when I was like my first year of fantasy football. Who did I have or who did I play? Oh, this is not even PPR. Hold on. Who did I have and who did I play against that just would tear it up? And I can't stop thinking of 2014, 2015, and 2016, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like everybody forgets and I will die on the hill of backing up OBJ and how he's not known for hitting that one catch. Like, people were like, oh, he's only known for that one. That was one hell of a heck of a catch. It was a hell of a catch.
For sure. I mean, if not for injuries, he would be in the conversation for one of the all-time greats.
Absolutely. And, I mean, look at his rookie season. He only played 12 games. He only played 12 games, and he dropped 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. 2015, 2016, OBJ, in his fantasy prime, he played all games. Well, he played 15 games in 2015, but played all 16 in 2016. He had over 1,400 yards, 13 touchdowns, and then 2016, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns. Like, I swear, my first year of fantasy, I played against OBJ was like going in the first round.
Yep.
And he, like, it was miserable playing against him. Obviously, I didn't put him on my list because, I mean, you know, obvious reasons, but people forget about the early days of Odell Beckham Jr.
I mean, that ankle injury that he suffered in his, like, last year, I want to say, in New York really screwed him up because he goes to Cleveland and his seasons aren't that great. And it was kind of downhill from there. He had some decent games when he was on the Rams. But New York Giants Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the most legendary players of all time. That rookie season, those records weren't broken until Justin Jefferson, which was like 8 years later.
And not to mention that, the Giants were mid when he was on their team, and he had an old Eli Manning as quarterback. Like,
I mean, he was the one that got him into the playoffs. Yeah. All those beefs with like Josh Norman, because the Giants were not that great of a team, and Odell Beckham was the final person. Yeah. He was the last piece of the puzzle. Yeah. So shout out to him. He was another waiver wire god.
All right.
So, I guess now we could break into our top 10.
Should we start at 10? That'd be more fun.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just start at 10. Who wants to start it? You want to start it?
I'll start. All right. So, as I was making this list, it was very obvious that I could just like look up a list and then drop these names. So I decided to do it a little bit different. I got some careers of fantasy greatest fantasy players of all time, but I also have like individual seasons on here, and I even threw like one or two individual games that deserve to be on this top 10 fantasy performances.
Oh wow!
And I'm gonna start it off with this. Like, realistically, shouldn't be on it, but it is an NFL record, so I had to put it on here. Number 10, I got the Titans kicker from 2007.
Whoa!
Rob Baronis dropped 28 points as a kicker in fantasy football, and went a perfect 8 for 8 on the day kicking.
That's wow. Beast.
And that, I believe to this day, is still an NFL record.
I'm sure. 28 points.
So obviously, I mean, it's not like a remarkable, phenomenal fantasy football season, but like, if your kicker in fantasy drops 28 points, man, you're set up for a lot of success. So I had to put him on my list at number 10.
Well, I guess that's me. I mean, I really wanted to mention this guy, too. I mean, loved his documentary. I mean, he's a Super Bowl MVP, a regular season MVP in the same year. I mean, heck, he worked in the grocery stores before he was even that guy for the Rams, and that's Kurt Warner. But it wasn't for the Rams. It was for the Cardinals back in the day for this season, 2008. Kurt Warner was just that guy, man. I mean, yeah, if I'm looking at his stats right now, 2008, Kurt Warner. I mean, 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, he was amazing. I loved his documentary. I mean, Kurt Warner, an inspiring story of how he just came from nothing all the way to this great quarterback, Hall of Famer. So, yeah, I definitely had to mention him in this list.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I came close to dropping him in my honorable mentions because I was going through this Reddit thread that showed people who were dropping the best waiver wire pickups of all time, and Kurt Warner was heavily dropped on that list. So that's a great pick. At 10, I kind of based my list off of all-time success rather than individual seasons, although I do really take that into account. And that's why at 10 I have Cooper Kupp. That 2021 season –
wow, at number 10.
At 10, because it was just the one good season, because you can combine his 2022 and 23 seasons, and it wouldn't come within 50 points of his 2021 season alone. But that year, I mean, Matt Stafford was targeting that dude at least 15 times a game. That dude was just getting the ball whenever he wanted. And it was all deserved, because you could not guard that man. He had two games that were sub-20 points, and it was an 18 and an 11-pointer. And in that 11-point game, he still saw 13 targets. I mean, just all over the place. I'm seeing 30-point games, 36 points in week two. I mean, if you had him in the playoffs, you were eating good. He has 31, 34. Cooper Kupp was ridiculous in 2021, and he was the reason the Rams won the Super Bowl that year. Because, like I mentioned earlier, San Fran had Debo Samuel, and they got to the NFC Championship, but Cooper Kupp met him right there and kicked him right out. So Kupp was unbelievable. If it wasn't for injuries throughout his entire career, who knows what kind of consistency we would have seen, because, I mean, almost 2,000 yards, 1,947 yards and 16 touchdowns in 1 year is unreal. And Cooper Kupp, I can go on all day. Highest scoring season for a receiver in fantasy history. It was a dog.
Yeah.
I love how we're going to have different lists here. Like, I threw a lot of, like, single games in here just for fun.
That's awesome. I should have thought of that.
But, because, like, to be completely honest, I have Cooper Kupp on my list, and he's really high up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that season was just unbelievable.
So, number 9, I went way back. I don't even know if fantasy football was a thing.
Fantasy football is going back pretty far, though.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
I was looking at a list, and I was seeing, like, Fran Tarkenton.
I don't even know, but we'll see. I mean, it's not way back, but for fantasy football it is. But I got a game that was played, let's see the exact date, on November 22nd, 1981.
Whoa.
And a tight end of the name of Kellen Winslow.
Ooh, Chargers legend.
Put on I couldn't believe it when I was looking at this. Like, I did some deep dive into the internet looking at this stuff. And, like, when you think of tight ends, obviously we have Travis Kelce, who's phenomenal. He can put up 30 points in a game. Laporta could probably do that. Andrews maybe could do that.
George Kittle.
Gronkowski back in the day.
Yeah, Gronk. Yeah, but like
Tony, this guy,
I had to do the like the stats to myself, add them up myself because they didn't have a fantasy calculator. Put up 57.5 fantasy points as a tight end.
That's unreal.
In one game, and let me read you a stat line. He had 13 catches for 144 yards. And found the end zone 5 times.
Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
Five times.
That is ridiculous.
And I'm looking, what in the world? I'm looking at his season. I mean, he had a great season. And then in a playoff game, he had 13 catches for 166 yards, but he only had one touchdown.
Still.
So he's my number 9 on the list. I mean, when you think – I don't think a tight end – it's got to be a tight end record. Like, I don't think we'll ever see a tight end.
The only two names I could think of off the top of my head for a single game would be Shannon Sharp. In one game he had, I think it was in Denver. It was Denver or Baltimore. And then George Kittle had a crazy game in 2018 against Denver where he had like 200 yards and a half, but nowhere near 5 touchdowns, I'll say that.
I had to put that my list at number 9. So that's what I got.
That's ridiculous. Winslow is extremely underappreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely got to mention, I mean, I just mentioned him now, Rob Gronkowski next on my list. Mm-hmm. 2011 season really did wonders for the Patriots. 90 catches, 1,327 yards, and 18 touchdowns. I mean, yeah, if you watch any games with Rob and Tom, I mean, they were just like two of the GOATs, man. That's definitely for sure. And the only thing resembling that nowadays is Patrick and Trav, but we won't really talk about the Chiefs anyways.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, Rob was that guy, man. I mean, definitely I felt bad for him every time a DB or anybody in the secondary would go for his knees. I mean, yeah, I don't know still how he's walking to this day. But, I mean, yeah. He definitely was that guy back in the day, so I definitely wanted to shout him out.
Yeah, he gronks back to baseball today at a Red Sox game.
I saw that.
I woke up to that.
That was legendary.
At my number 9 spot, I have I'm going to just say it. It's Tom Brady. The highest scoring NFL fantasy points ever.
I felt so bad not putting him on my list.
I didn't want to, but I'm looking at this fantasy points. Second place for all-time fantasy points is Drew Brees with 5,423.9.
Oh, wow.
Tom Brady is first with 6,169.4. Nice.
That's crazy.
He beats out Brees by almost 700 fantasy points all time. That is ridiculous. And Tom Brady did it throughout his entire career, just dominant.
Might come back too.
He might. He said he wouldn't rule out the Raiders or what did he say? The Raiders.
He did say if they make him a GM though, he does want to be or not a GM.
Well, he's a part time owner or not part time, but a partial owner of the Raiders.
He wants to be a full time owner though. Yeah. That's what he was saying. If a team takes him in, if they let him be an owner.
Yeah, the Raiders need new ownership. I'll say that. But nonetheless, Tom Brady throughout his entire career was ridiculous. Even in that, I want to say it was 2020 season in Tampa, where he had 5,000 yards. And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were eating good because of Tom Brady. It was ridiculous what he was doing. So he is by far the number one point scorer of all time, and I had to throw him up there.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving on. Number eight.
Number eight.
So I was looking at my list and I realized I don't have any like all time guy. Like it's literally just all seasons. But
that's sick.
It's whatever. So number 8, I'm actually gonna. This is another single game performance that isn't really. See, like this list is a little biased because like I think about when I'm looking at fantasy or like when I've watched football, like what fantasy performances really stand out to me. So it's obviously not the greatest. Like most perfect list, but that's what makes it fun. My number 8, I got a man who we talked about earlier, who's in consideration of the best receiver in the 2010s, and in my opinion, is easily the best receiver in the 2010s, just because of his physicality, his everything. It's Julio Jones, Julio Jones. and I remember, back home every Sunday, I'd go to my friend Eli's house and we'd watch fantasy football. And I'll never forget watching this performance happen on Red Zone. and it was that game in 2016 against the Panthers.
That was unbelievable.
I mean, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, kids, like, poor everybody our age will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Poor Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, he got mossed. I think he even made a tackle in the game when I think Kuechly picked
him
off.
Yeah, he did on a pick.
And I'm like, you should get fantasy points for that. He had 15 targets, caught 12 of them, had 300 yards on the dot, and had a phenomenal touchdown where he mossed Luke Kuechly. I believe that was the touchdown. He mossed Kuechly and walked into the end zone. I mean, if I do the math really, really fast, I don't have it up exactly, plus 30, plus 6. It's 48 fantasy points.
Jeez.
Which, if you drop, if your receiver one drops you 48 fantasy points, or anybody drops 48 fantasy points in a week, you should win that week.
Yeah.
Unless you get really unlucky. So I had to put that on there because I vividly remember watching. That's why I put it lower on the list at number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really shouldn't crack any higher than that. But I just remember watching that happen. And Julio was on my team that year, so it was awesome. That's my number 8.
Lucky man.
I think your single game idea inspired me, Jake, though, because I just looked up some guys and came across Jonathan Taylor 2021 against the Bills.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. I remember that.
Oh, my God.
I was mad.
Yeah, 185 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 32 carries. I believe he dropped, what is it, 50? I think it was 50 fantasy points.
I remember that.
I think I saw it non-PPR. It said 50.
Jonathan Taylor was on my team that year, too.
Yeah. So I had to shout out Jonathan Taylor, especially with the single-game performance like that. He has been out with some injuries recently, but, I mean, he's coming back, so it's going to be definitely good for the Colts. But, yeah, monster game from Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm, for sure. It sucks I already said Alvin Kamara because that just made me think of his Christmas performance where he had 6 touchdowns. I'm not going to get into that, though. I'm not going to get into that. It just made me remember. But my number, what is this, 8?
Yes, sir.
This man ranks in the top 5 for highest point season of all time. I believe for PPR, I think he's 3rd or 4th. No, 4th. It's Kansas City Chiefs legend Priest Holmes. Man.
He's got to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so bad not putting him on my list.
Yeah,
but
I got
like
you. His first 3 years in the league, actually, were ridiculous. I mean, PPR, his rookie season, 336.9 fantasy points with 1,500 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns. The next year, 442 fantasy points with 1,600 yards and 21 touchdowns. Oh, but we're not done yet because next year he has 445 fantasy points, which puts him in the top 5 with 1,420 yards and 27 touchdowns that year, which at the time was first or was most touchdowns in a single season in NFL history. And after that, when you look at him, it is such a fall from grace because he has those 3 first legendary years, and you're like, this dude is going to be the greatest running back of all time. The next year, he plays 8 games. Next year, 7 games. And then the next year, 4 games, and he's out of the league. 3 years after some of the greatest fantasy runs of all time, Priest Holmes is completely out of the league. And, you know, luckily they landed Gold and Jamal Charles, but I mean, Priest Holmes, for those first 3 years of his career, was just a fantasy goat. So if you had PPR Priest Holmes, you are a lucky person because that dude was insane. You guys want to go to a quick little break since we're come back with you?
Yeah.
I will. Let's do that. But I do want another honorable mention. I don't know if he's going to be on anybody's list, but it's another single game thing. Talk about Chiefs running backs. I want to talk about Jamal Charles' game he had in 2013 against the Raiders.
Yes, that was insane.
And the craziest part about this game is he, obviously a legendary running back for Kansas City. He in this game, he only had 8 rushes for 20 yards. That's it, 20 yards rushing. He had a rushing touchdown too. But he holds the record for, I think he still holds it, for the most amount of points by a running back in PPR and fantasy history. He ended with 59.5 fantasy points, and it's because he had 8 catches for 195 yards and 4 receiving touchdowns.
On 8 catches is crazy.
As a running back.
You
talking about Priest Mahomes, or Priest Mahomes. Wow, the Chiefs, wow.
Yeah, back in 2013, that was a pretty wild
game. I had to give a
game,
quick
shout
out to Mr. Jamal Charles.
For sure. And with we're going to be right back after a short intermission, continuing our top 10 fantasy players of all time lists. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa. You are listening to Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're back with our top 10 fantasy players of all time lists. Let's get right back to where we started with that 7 spot, Jake. Let's get it rolling.
I like it. Sorry, I was watching Gunnar Henderson pimp a home run. Pip. Gunnar anyway, number 7, he's an Auburn fan. That makes me mad. Anyway.
What about Jackson Holliday?
Okay. Number 7 on here is a guy that I did not have, but I was a huge fan. I am so sad that he fell off. He pretty much had one good fantasy season, like a phenomenal fantasy season, because he's literally number 7 on my list. And then injuries, got traded in a horrible trade deal. But 2016 season, David Johnson.
Yes. What a fall from grace.
For the Arizona Cardinals. Dude literally went, like, insane. Like, 407 total points that year. He almost did what CMC did. I'm going to be coming back to him. I think a couple of us will be later in the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But almost did what CMC did, Chris McCaffrey, for those who don't know. In 2019, with 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards, he came up just short of the receiving yards. But dude finished as RB1 that season, I believe, in 2016.
Has only four people ever done that, I think?
Yeah.
The 1,000?
Yeah, 1,000.
Christian McCaffrey, Roger Craig.
I think it's only four.
LT did it, I think.
I don't know if LT did. I think Alvin Kamara might have came close. I just know for sure Roger Craig and Christian McCaffrey.
But, I mean, if you do that in one season, obviously the next year he was going, like, first, second overall, and then fell from grace. It was really sad. But David Johnson's on my list at number 7.
Well, I think I got to give homage to this guy, especially after his passing, and I mean, just after the monster season he had. O.J. Simpson back in 1975. This dude was an absolute monster.
The juice was loose.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, 2,243 yards. I mean, 23 touchdowns, 16 rushing.
Wait, hold on. Who did you say?
Yeah, O.J. Simpson. 23 touchdowns.
That's crazy. He just passed away.
Yeah.
Like, actually.
So RIP to O.J. and prayers out to his family. But, I mean, the dude was an absolute monster. And, I mean, yeah, 16 rushing, 7 receiving. But 23 touchdowns in a season, golly.
San Francisco 49er legend, O.J. Simpson. Let's move on to my number 7 spot. In my opinion, the greatest fantasy quarterback of all time from a consistency standpoint and getting points. And even at his old man age, I think Aaron Rodgers is still going to get that top spot for me. Legitimately every year of his career except for the injuries like this season and the 3 years he played behind Brett Favre was just a lot of points. I'll say that. Four-time MVP. 2020 was his best year with 383 points. But that's not his only 300. Oh, no, that's a lie. His 2011 season where he won MVP, and I'm pretty sure he won the Super Bowl that year as well. 397 points, averaging 26.5 points per game. He was ridiculous just throughout his entire career. Really last season, not his Jet season, but his last Packers season was kind of his worst fantasy season of his career, only averaging 14. But before that, it's all 20-plus. And if you have a quarterback, that's what you're asking for is 20-plus points a game. And Aaron Rodgers would deliver on that every single time. And when you look to a games played and points ratio, I think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest of all time.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
I like it. Greatest fantasy QB of all time.
Yep.
Well, that was a good lead-in to my number 6 guy because it's another quarterback, another single season. And to me, this season has a lot. I love this NFL season solely because of the final outcome and who won the Super Bowl this year. But this is probably one of the greatest regular seasons I've seen put together by a quarterback on the field. And obviously that correlates to fantasy because if your numbers are good, he had a phenomenal fantasy season, and that's 2013 Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah,
Greatest single season ever.
When he set both the single season records for yards and touchdowns a season, he threw 5,477 yards and 55 touchdowns.
Omaha.
I'm sure he finished as QB1 that season. I mean, I don't know how many mobile quarterbacks were even in the league in 2013. Not many. But to be able to put up those numbers in fantasy as with literally, I mean, there's no way Peyton Manning has over 20 rushing yards on this season. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
He was old. I mean,
he's just not built.
He
like
was
that.
Brittle.
He's just not built.
And
like
the
that.
Other thing is, he not only did he perform, but he, like, I saw, I remember seeing the stat, and it's probably one of the craziest stats that I can still remember. And, like, every main positional weapon on this Broncos team had 10 plus touchdowns.
Yeah.
Two of the receivers, I think maybe even a third one, both tight ends, if I'm not mistaken, or definitely one of their tight ends, and I think both running backs, all had over 10 touchdowns.
That's so insane.
And that's solely because of Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdowns in one
yeah.
season.
I mean, everybody on the offense.
I wish Lincoln was here because I'm
a big
Broncos guy.
Oh, yeah, he'd be giving you a high five.
But
yeah.
I feel so bad because I don't understand how they didn't win the Super Bowl this year. They didn't even make it to the AFC Championship game.
Nope.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for Joe Flacco and Jacoby Jones. But
yeah, whoever that corner was that just fell trying to guard Jacoby
yeah,
Jones,
yeah,
shout
yeah,
out
yeah,
to
whatever.
Him.
But no, Peyton Manning, I mean, oh my gosh. If he was your fantasy quarterback that year, wow.
Even if you had his weapons, Demaryius Thomas, yes. May he rest in peace. Julius Thomas as their tight end.
Wes Welker. I don't know if you had Wes Welker in fantasy, but if you did,
yeah.
Heck of a pickup. I mean, oh my gosh. That's my number six.
Well, my number six, I guess, is kind of like, I mean, this is kind of just definitely an improvement year for this guy. And, you know, this is just kind of just for, like, not really the lulls, I would say, but this is just, like, I just want to give an honorable mention to this guy, Victor Cruz for the New York Giants. 2010, I mean, literally Salsa. Played in three games, 0 points. And, I mean, breakout year, had 1,536 yards with 9 touchdowns. And, I mean, on 82 receptions, 208 fantasy points. I mean, to go from not even playing, like, barely any games with no production whatsoever, and then to have 208 fantasy points, I mean, yeah, I thought I might slide him in the list. I think he deserves more than just an honorable mention for a season like that. So.
I love it.
People are quick to forget he was OBJ before OBJ. He was out there dancing, getting all those points.
He also wrote a very, very good book. I recommend reading it. I've read it. Very nice. Great story about Victor Cruz.
Yeah, fingers to the sky. Matt Collins TikTok. My number six, I have in a time.
Yes, brother.
Check Tuesday. In a time where fantasy football was on the rise, and I want to say around 2011, 2012 is when fantasy football really started to boom. This dude right here was the top dog at the time, and that was AD. No, not Anthony Davis. He was probably injured. Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings, especially that 2012 season where he averaged 21.7 points per game, 347 points on the season, and not to mention 2,100 yards rushing.
That's crazy.
With 12 touchdowns. And, I mean, every single his first, 7 seasons in the NFL was all 10-plus touchdowns, all 1,000-plus yards, except for his 2011 season where he only played 12 games. He still had 973 yards. Adrian Peterson was the top guy for so long. Injuries kind of derailed that. 2014, only one game he played. Comes back in 2015 with 1,500 yards, and then just injuries and going all around the league after that. But in a time where fantasy was really starting to blow up, Adrian Peterson was that man. RB1 through and through.
Mm. I love it. My number five. We're cracked into the top five now, fellas. Yeah. Oh, boy. This is going to get fun. You kind of stole the thunder on this guy a little bit for me earlier. I didn't think anybody was going to talk about him. But you gave me a little opener, I guess. But number five for me. Like I said again, I love the single game performances, and I love ones that hit home. And I remember watching this game at home in my Christmas pajamas on Christmas night. Mm-hmm. And that's Christmas Day, Alvin Kamara.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Minnesota Vikings. I remember that game. He was playing against Dalvin Cook. I had Dalvin Cook, too.
On.
Yes, dude. 54.7 fantasy points, 172 total yards, and found the end zone 6 times. six touchdowns in one game, and not to mention, like Jamie just said, he had some awesome festive cleats.
Yeah, wow. The one green, one red.
I'm getting so excited. And then they fined him for it, which made me absurdly mad.
But what's crazy is that he would have had a seventh touchdown, but they gave it to Taysom Hill in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He could have broke the record. He tied it with some dude from the 1920s.
I just had to put Christmas Day, Alvin Kamara in my number five. I mean, that was such a fun game to watch, especially for those Saints fans.
I mean, I think I got to shout out this guy. We're at the number five spot, right? Yeah. I think I got to shout out this guy. I know Jake loves him. Lamar Jackson, 2019. A great season for him. 415.68 fantasy points. I mean, threw for 3,127 yards, 36 passing touchdowns, I should say, 36 passing touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. And for a guy that many people say isn't a passing quarterback, I mean, look at the season he had there. I mean, that's all the way back in 2019. So, yeah, definitely. I think he was averaging 27 fantasy points per game. That's pretty dang insane. So, yeah, I definitely wanted to shout it out Lamar. I mean, just great quarterback. Definitely gets heavily criticized, but, I mean, deserves his flowers. So,
That was awesome. Thank you, Zach.
Amazing. No problem.
So let's get out of that. So at five, I have Emmitt Smith, but you guys are really inspiring me to dive into.
Of course, he's taking out the Cowboys.
Others. Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. We're not here to talk about Cowboys. So I looked up. I'm back on this Reddit thread that's greatest waiver wire pickups of all time, and I'm seeing some names. I'm seeing Alfred Morris in his rookie season.
Oh my gosh, Alfred Morris. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. But I think I want to talk about – I know we keep getting into 2021 because I feel like that was a really legendary season for fantasy.
It was one of the greatest fantasy seasons ever.
Yeah, with Kupp and Debo and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about a waiver wire god that was just completely out of nowhere. I remember facing this guy multiple times and just having nightmares. And it was Cordarrelle Patterson.
You're going to put him at number five?
We'll move everybody up one just because I don't want to talk about Emmitt Smith. Okay. Because, Emmitt Smith is one of only 4 skill position players to crack the top 25 all-time fantasy scores. But who cares? He played about 37 million years and didn't do anything in Arizona. So let's talk about Cordarrelle Patterson for a little bit.
I love it.
Cordarrelle Patterson, that 2021 year, was legitimately out of nowhere because dude was just a kick returner his entire career. All he did was return kicks and bounce around the league from Minnesota and New England and Chicago. But 2021, he comes out of nowhere, joins the Atlanta Falcons, and just his second game, 19 points. Fourth game, 30 points. And multiple 30-point games that season landed him as the top within the top 5 running backs on the year. So when you talk about fantasy and PPR scoring especially, Cordarrelle Patterson was that dude that season. And it was just out of nowhere. So shout out Cordarrelle Patterson just because I didn't want to talk about Emmitt Smith.
Shout out.
Yep.
We'll run through number 4 here real quick, and then I say the last part, we do top 3.
Yeah.
So number 4, I mean, Zach literally just talked about him. I have to put one of my favorite Ravens ever in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Grant, I mean, well-deserved fantasy year is that 2019 MVP, might I say, Lamar Jackson season he had. Led the Ravens to 14-2 on the year, number 1 seed. Ended up losing in the first game. Very unfortunate. But like Zach said, 36 passing touchdowns. And not only did he throw 36 passing touchdowns, but he threw them with – yes, Hollywood Brown was okay. He was a receiver. He's technically a receiver one, but is he really receiver one in the league? That's up for debate. But then the next two receivers on our depth chart that year were Willie Snead and Chris Moore.
Willie Snead, he's on the Niners.
So that's all needs to be said. Obviously, like Zach said, he also had over 1,200 rushing yards on the season. And I did look. He did not have a single week under 14 points. As a quarterback, I think there was 1 week where he had like 14.5, and then he had seven games over 30.
That's insane.
That's huge for a quarterback.
That's wild.
But that's all I'm going to say about my two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson, at number 4.
Well, I got to give a shout-out to, at number 4, Jimmy Smith. I mean, going with a single.
Yeah. Ravens legend.
Not the corner
Jimmy
because
Smith?
He held.
Going with the single game, I mean, 62.1 points on September 9th, 2000.
Jacksonville Jaguar legend.
Yeah, 62 is crazy. 291 total yards, 15 receptions, 3 touchdowns. And, I mean, going over his entire career, the only time he didn't have 1,000 receiving yards was his rookie season. And back in 2003, he had 805. But, I mean, yeah, this dude isn't – I mean, just a consistent guy. And just – I think most touchdowns he had in the season was about 8. But, yeah, overall, just a consistent dude. I mean, what a game. 62.1 fantasy points in a game. Yeah, just had to throw him in there at number 4. And, yeah, definitely a great career to live by. So.
Yeah. My number 4 spot, I'm going to go to a guy that is definitely, debatably, the greatest fantasy player in the history of the National Football League.
He's at number 4?
Yeah.
It's going to be Christian.
Okay.
It's not Christian McCaffrey. I'll get to him later.
Oh, wow.
It's not Christian. I'll get to him later. But no, I'm going to go Marshall Faulk at this 4 spot.
Oh, yeah.
PPR scoring.
Very well deserved.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm going to just read you his stats. So, rushing-wise, 260 attempts. This is his rookie season in 2000. 1,382 yards and 12 touchdowns with 83 receptions, 765 yards through the air with another 9 touchdowns. So 21 touchdowns total, 2,000 yards total in 14 games.
The running back position is so different now.
Play the full 16-game season. That was 14 games Marshall Faulk went out and dominated for the Rams. And, you know, he was one of the most dynamic guys ever. Really, you know, after Roger Craig was like the first of his kind with the dual threat guys, led the way for Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara, all these other guys. Marshall Faulk was unbelievable. And he only lasted 5 years in the NFL. I don't know what happened to him. Didn't have that long of a career. Injuries must have hurt him or something. But that one season in 2000, 2001, where the greatest show on turf ran through the league, it was because of Marshall Faulk, not Torrey Holt, Kurt Warner, or Isaac Bruce. It was Marshall Faulk. Unreal.
I mean, that rookie season's just crazy. Yeah. The running back position's just like changed so dramatically.
Yeah, and that's the rookie season. That's the craziest part. Wow. But with that, we're going to be right back after a short intermission, continuing our top 10 fantasy players of all time. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM, Tuscaloosa. You are listening to Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're back with our top 10 NFL fantasy players of all time lists. We've gotten our honorable mentions done. We're done with 10 through 4. It is top 3 time. So let's dive in with our number 3 spots.
I'm going to kick it off with my bronze medalist. I won't talk about him too much because I know all three of us might be talking about him. I know definitely one of us will be talking about him. And that's 2019 Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
CMC.
With the Carolina Panthers. He had over 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards. He was a checkdown machine from Sam Darnold. Had 116 receptions as a running back. That's literally 116 points in a season from receptions.
That's insane.
Surprisingly, he only had 19 touchdowns. I feel like
only
had 19 touchdowns. I'm looking at that. I'm like, I feel like he should have way more. But I mean, 19 is still ridiculous. He's at my number 3. I'm not going to rant too much about him. I'm going to let Jamie do that, even though he wasn't a Niner at this point.
Oh, I'll talk about his Niner years, too.
Yeah, it so happens I have Christian McCaffrey at 3, too. So, I mean, I can't really rant about him either. I want Jamie to do all the honors with that. So, yeah, Christian McCaffrey 2019, absolute just an animal. Hated that he got that injury, but he's back, and, I mean, still doing great things. So, I mean, Jamie, take it away if you want
to. All right, it's time to.
Is he at number 3 for you, too?
Yeah, I originally had him at four, but I moved Marshall Faulk back one.
I wonder who's at your number two. I'm confused.
But I have Christian McCaffrey at three. In my opinion, he is the modern era cheat code. Back in the day, obviously, like we talked about earlier, there was the Marshall Faulks. There was, like we'll get to later, the LaDainian Tomlinsons, the Walter Paytons. But today's game, it is Christian McCaffrey as the best player in fantasy far and away. And every healthy season he's had, he has been a machine. His 2019 year ranks him second all-time in single-season fantasy scoring for PPR. His 2023 season placed him as the highest-scoring running back on the year for 2023 by a wide, wide margin. So we'll start with that 2023 year, because, or not 2023, 2019 year, because Jake alluded to it earlier. Sam Darnold was afraid to throw footballs. And when you're afraid to throw footballs, you give it to your running back, and that is exactly what they did. Christian McCaffrey's very first game in that 2019 year, 42.9 fantasy points against the Rams with
42 in your first.
Yeah, in your first game, 130 yards, two touchdowns with another 80 through the air.
Wow. Wow.
Next game is a dud, 7 points, but then 28, 33. After that, game five, 47.7. with 61 receiving yards, 176 on the ground, three total touchdowns, 21, 27, 38, 26, 30, 35, and he ended the year with three 30-plus point games. 2019 Christian McCaffrey, I don't even know what to say. That was the just craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And the day he was traded to San Francisco, we were playing basketball, and I shed a tear of joy a little bit.
I remember that. I got to tell you. I was the one that broke the news to Jimmy.
Yeah, we were playing basketball late at night in the Witt Center. It was so late. It had to have been like 10:30 or something. And the news breaks. Our friend Tommy, who was a Panthers fan, was heartbroken. And I was doing jumping jacks of joy because Christian McCaffrey was a 49er. And 2023 season, I'll just get right into it. He was the top dog by far.
Still going.
We're still going. 2023.
We got time to kill. We got time to kill. Not a single game.
We do not.
No. Well, only two games under 20 points. But week four, 49 points, which is, I'm pretty sure, his highest single game mark. What is this? Week 15, 42, and then a whole lot of 30s and 20s in between. So Christian McCaffrey, in my opinion, and an all-time standpoint, top three.
Might as well call him Steve Rogers. He's a modern-day Captain America. I mean, who else? He is on some super soldier serum.
He's the greatest running back of all time.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Let's relax. My number two spot, I won't spend too much time on because since I get to talk first, that means I get to talk first about my number one, and I'm going to rant about him. But my number two spot we talked about a little bit earlier, it was Jamie's number nine or eight guy, but that's 2021 Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
There's not much to say. Jamie covered it all. I mean, just a phenomenal season. And the reason I put it up there, not that it really has anything to do with fantasy football rise, but the reason I put it up there at number two is because it ended in a Super Bowl MVP. That's what it ended in. He took Matthew Stafford, got him that ring. They went through their divisional rival in the Niners. I'm sorry, Jamie. They went through the GOAT and Tom Brady in Tampa, and then they pulled it off against the young Bengals team. But, I mean, Cooper Kupp, just week one to week 20 or whatever that would be, the Super Bowl would be, it was just phenomenal. Fantasy points all over the board.
Well, number two, I got to give it to Jerry Rice for both single game and just regular season.
Jamie just like, that's funny.
It's Jamie's day today. I mean, 49er legend Jerry Rice. I mean, dude was just an absolute dog back in 1995. I mean, he had 414 points. And then in a single game in 1990, 65.5 fantasy points, 225 total yards, 13 receptions, 5 touchdowns. I mean, 65.5 fantasy points in a single game. That's just absolutely absurd. I mean, we all know about Jerry Rice. I mean, one of the greatest to ever do it. So, yeah. I mean, can't really say too much about him because, I mean, we already know. So,
yeah. Jerry Rice is also my number two. He is the only wide receiver in the top 25 for most fantasy points in a career. This dude played till he was, I think, 42 years old and still averaged 17 fantasy points per game. That is unheard of. Zach already covered it. His 1995 season was generational. It was, before Cooper Kupp, the highest single season fantasy points-wise for a receiver in NFL history. He scored the most points for a skill position player ever. He's the only receiver that cracks the top 40. His 95 season ranks him seventh all time. What more is there to say? There was that year that they only played, I believe it was either 12 or 14 games, and he still had 23 touchdowns on the year. So receiver standpoint, fantasy standpoint, Jerry Rice is the greatest at that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to jump into my number one. I don't got much time, but I have a lot to talk about him. He's personally my favorite running back of all time, so that's why I love to chat about this. I got a bunch of notes on him, but it was that 2006 LaDainian Tomlinson season.
I think that's probably all of ours.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty, probably, yeah.
He's my second favorite running back.
In 2006, he had 481 total fantasy points. To do the quick math for you, that's almost, it's 28.29 points per game. If you're getting 28 points a game from anybody, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He had 28 total touchdowns and over 2,300 scrimmage yards.
Gosh.
And I'll keep going. There wasn't a single week in the single digits. Not one did he put. And he had 9 games over 30 points.
Huh.
4 of them were 40 points, so half of them. And not to mention that in 2003, just 3 years before that, he also scored 443 total points in the season, which is only about 30-something, 38 points less. And I was looking at his week-to-week stats here, and there was an 8-week stretch where he had multiple touchdowns in the game.
Huh.
2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns. And those are just rushing. Not to mention, in 3 of those, he had a receiving touchdown as well.
Man. Wow.
I mean, there's just not much to say. But, like, that 2006 season, I said it, I covered a lot. That season was just absurd.
Yeah.
It's an awe looking at all these notes that I have about LT in that season. And then, like, to think that he did it literally 3 years before that and did pretty much the same thing is ridiculous to me. I think he's maybe the greatest fantasy football player of all time.
31 touchdowns in a season is...
That's crazy.
To say the least. So, I mean, well, yeah, I guess it's my turn to talk about. It's LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, like, who else are we going to put at the top? I mean, he literally deserves it. I mean, the lowest season he ever
touched. Gus Edwards is up there.
Yeah.
At number
one. I was thinking of, what's his name?
Yeah, Amari Cooper, too, I'm sure. One of those Cowboy seasons. One of them. Yeah, but LaDainian Tomlinson, I mean, besides his 2010-2011 season, I mean, his lowest scoring touchdown wise was 10, and then like the season before the 2006 season was 20 touchdowns. And that's just mind-boggling to say the least. But yeah, the way he was able to be a receiving and rushing back and just be dominant in both areas is just definitely the key factor of him just being the GOAT that he is today of fantasy football and just in general. So
yeah, my number one spot is also, in my opinion, the greatest running back of all time, LaDainian Tomlinson. That 2006 season, I'll cover it briefly because Jake really already got into it, but he is one of 3 players to ever average more than 30 fantasy points per game throughout an entire NFL season. 16 games with 1,815 rushing yards, 28 touchdowns, 56 catches, 508 yards, and 3 touchdowns to the air. And he also threw for 2 touchdowns. I remember he threw this dot to Drew Brees. Drew Brees got absolutely rocked, but he still scored on it. And all of that gets him 481.1 points that season, which is 10 points higher than second place. All in all, 33 touchdowns in 2006, and he's one of only 4 skill position players to ever make the top 25 all-time fantasy point scores. LT was that guy, in my opinion, the greatest running back ever, and definitely the greatest fantasy running back ever. So that's all we got. That is all we have for you guys this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM, Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We'll see you guys next Monday night. Peace.